Our reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. In this verse, Paul is praying that the hearers of his letter will be strengthened so that Christ will dwell in them through faith, and that being rooted in love, we will come to understand the scope and the depth of God's love, which surpasses our intellectual understanding, that we will also be filled with God's fullness, light and love, wisdom and holiness, power and glory. And this is far more than just freedom from sin. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. And if you were here last week, you'll recall that I gave the NY 730 challenge. Everybody knows what that is, right? The New Year's challenge to spend 7 minutes a day for the next 30 days in prayer and scripture study every day. So how's it going? Okay, that's what I thought. All right. It's okay. It's okay if you tried it and you didn't make it a whole week. It's okay. God, remember, God's grace is abundant. You remember that? Remember that God is more patient with us than we are with ourselves. So if you started it or you wanted to start it and then it kind of fell by the wayside during the week, which is perfectly normal for us human beings, it's okay to start it back up today or tomorrow. It's okay to jump right back in and to keep on with that challenge. So I just wanted to remind us of that. And I've been hearing from people during the week on Facebook, email, that people are doing that and making attempts, and that's the best part about that, is that people are trying this out, and I encourage you to do so. You know, even some of our youth have been taking it on, and they told me about it, so I'm encouraged that we're doing that together. I wanted to, the title of the sermon changed what's in your bulletin to what is you're going to hear today, because I can do that. So I get to do that. So that's the one thing I can do around here is change a sermon title. But if you remember, I preached my first sermon a little over six months ago on the first weekend in July here at this church, and I shared about the zone of chaos. Does anybody remember about the zone of chaos we talked about? That we all are going through transition, we go through life's changes, and there's this process to change that we all go through. And if we could bring that back up on the screen this morning and kind of remind us about how change happens. And the first stage of change is always denial or avoidance, or we say, okay, well, it's not really happening. And then we move into a place of resistance or being stressed out, or because change is happening and we don't want to accept it, we start to blame other people for the change or start to complain about the change. And then and that's part of that zone of chaos, that place where we're just stressed out and wondering what God's up to. And then hopefully even within that valley of change, we find that place where, okay, well, maybe I should be open to the possibilities, and we begin to explore and accept the change. And then ultimately the last stage is that we commit to the change. And as we look over this past year, we as a church have gone through a lot of changes. And you as individuals, I think we as individuals have gone through a lot of changes, have we not? I mean, we've all experienced different changes in our own personal lives as well, not just in our church. And we all go through these stages. And what I love about this is, and what I want to remind us about is that God's there. God's in that. We don't always see God. We wonder where God is, but whatever change we're going through in life, God is in the midst of it. And in fact, I find that God is more in the change than in just the everything's fine stage of life. I don't know about you, but when everything's kind of coasting and normal and fine, I find that God really isn't doing a whole lot. But it's actually in the change, it's actually in the transitions of life that God begins to shape and mold me as a person. I think God's doing that for us as an organization, as a church. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning more about where we are as a church and where we're going as a church, more so than where maybe the individual change we're going through personally. And we don't have enough time to cover all that, do we? But think about that. I think if I were to look back on our church and where we're at right now, I would say we're still in transition. We're still in this process, and I'm hoping that as a church, we're really at that place where we're starting to explore the possibilities for God's future for us as a church. Let me just recap some things, some changes that we've gone through this year. And I wasn't even around for one of the big ones, and that was we opened up a whole new wing of this building. Do you all remember that? You remember the transition of that? You remember all the transition and stress that that took on? And so we got into a new building. We opened up a new phase of this building. That's a big change for any church to go through. Then, you know, we introduced 4 new full-time staff here in the church and said goodbye to beloved staff that had been here for years and years and decades, some of them decades. We think about Andy and Ruth and many others and Al. And who am I missing? There's somebody else I'm missing, I think. And Mandy, that's right. And so we said goodbye to people, and we said hello to new people. That's a big change for an organization to go through. That's a big change. It creates stress. And it's okay, because God's still there. And then the other thing is we opened up the Early Learning Center in August. And actually, that was a year-long process, but the church had said goodbye to the preschool and opened up a whole new vision, a whole new direction for the Early Learning Center. And today we've got over 150 young people enrolled in our Early Learning Center this week. And so that has grown by leaps and bounds, and it's gone in different ways and new directions because the church was able to open up this new wing. So there's been a lot of change. Have you all felt any of that? I have. I know I have felt a lot of that, but God is still in the midst of it. God is saying, there's something I got planned for this church. God is up to something. And the reason I know that is because I'm already seeing signs of it. Do you know that this past year, our worship, people participating in worship, attending worship here at this church has grown by 9% over last year? That's significant considering all the change this church has been through. I mean, I would have expected it. I would have been like glad if we had had 0%, you know, if we just hadn't lost any, you know, lost a lot of people. I would have been like, say, that would have been a good thing. But we've actually grown through the change. More people are coming to our church because of those changes. Now, the other thing I want to do is I want to let you know about something. I want to thank you. Because a couple months ago, our finance chair, Jeff Carter, stood up before our church and asked us to pray about how we might increase our giving. We were looking at between an $80,000 and $100,000 deficit in our church financially by the end of this past year, 2010. And I'm happy to say to you this morning that we have closed that gap to about 0%, $0. Yeah, that's a good thing. But that's because you gave. That's because of your generosity. That's because when we asked folks to pray about it, people prayed about it, and God worked through us to respond to the need. And we've paid all our bills. We've given to the mission. We've made our mission commitments to the denomination and also the mission giving to housing in Habitat for Humanity and grassroots, and the day one, the resource center, and day one center. So we've made our commitments. We've been able to do that because of your generosity. And that's another sign to me that God's at work. So you think God's got us here just to sit back and coast? You think God's got us to this place to just sit back and say, hey, we got this new building, we got these new people, new staff, let them do a lot of work, and we've got all, you know, we got the resources we need. Well, do you think God just wants us just to just sit back and do nothing, just kind of keep doing what we've been doing? Or do you think God has put us in this place for something else? I think God's preparing us. I think God has put us in this place for something significant. So what's next? What does God have for us next? Well, I want to share with you this morning a little bit of where we've been discerning as a strategy team, where we think God is leading us next. Where might God be leading us? And I'm just going to give you a glimpse into that this morning. And you're going to have an opportunity to actually hear more about that next Sunday. I want to invite you all. You have an open invitation to come to our Ignite session, which is next Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock after church next Sunday. We're going to be sharing more in depth about where we feel God is leading us in the future. But I just want to give you a glimpse of that this morning and what that might look like from my perspective. But we are a church that does things together. We're in partnership with each other to be about God's vision for our future. But here's the verse that we've come across in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, which you heard read already this morning. But I want to zero in just on verse 16 this morning, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation because of the wording here this morning. It says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is." I like that verse, do you? It makes me feel encouraged to know that this is God's hope for me. And this is God's hope for every human being on the planet. That we would encounter God's love, that our roots would grow down deep into that love. You know, When I was growing up and at home with my dad loved to plant a garden every summer. And I've shared this story in different circles, so forgive me if you're hearing it again. But there were only two times a year my dad allowed me in that garden. And the first time was usually in March, because that's about the time to dig up the soil again. It had been sitting there all winter long, getting hard, getting crusty. And so dad would hand me a shovel and say, "Come with me." And we'd go out in the garden, and he'd say, "Now dig up," and we'd go through, and we'd turn over the soil by hand. We had to dig it up again. We needed to turn it over. We needed to expose that soil to fresh air. And we needed to turn it over to loosen it up, to allow the seeds to come into it, to create that environment of soil that the seeds could grow in. So that was the first time I got to go in the garden. The second time was usually preceded by a trip. And this time he would say, "Come with me, get in the car." And we'd load up the station wagon with shovels again, and we'd put in two aluminum, remember the old aluminum steel trash cans that made a lot of noise when you moved them around? No wheels on them, you remember those? Anybody with me on that? Some of you have never seen those before. But we took those trash cans, put them in the back of the station wagon, and we drove to the local farmer. Yeah. Sometimes you need that in life. But so we go there, and dad would take me out, and all the cows would go out to pasture, and we'd go into the corral next to the barn where the cows would spend most of their time at night. We'd clean up after them. And so we'd go in to the pen, and dad would give me the shower, we'd drag the trash cans in, and I'd go in. I remember starting off and with the pitchfork and the shovel, and I'm skimming off the top layer, and he said, No. You got to dig deeper. Get that. Don't go with the first layer. I don't want any of the first layer. You got to get down. When you start to smell it bad, that's when I want. That's the stuff I want. You know, the ferment, you know, and so it's gross. I won't even describe it to you anymore because I don't want to leave you with a bad impression from church, you know. So we fill up these trash cans with manure. And then we go back to the garden. And the second time and the final time I was allowed back in the garden was to throw this manure into the garden and turn it over again and mix it in with the soil. Now, why do we do that? Why do we go through all that work? Why do we go through all that trouble? Why was I willing to wade through manure to prepare that soil? It's because without those nutrients, without that fresh air, without the richness in that soil, when we put those seeds in them, they're not going to grow if we don't prepare the soil. We needed to cultivate that environment so the seeds could grow. And God added water, and God added sunlight. And ultimately, you know what? For all the work that we did, really, it's God who made it grow. We can work as hard as we want, but it was up to God whether or not that grew. Now, here's the thing. We're to be a church that cultivates the hearts and minds of people so the seeds of faith in Christ can grow in their lives. That's what we're hoping to be, is a place, a church, that will cultivate God's love in people's lives so that their lives would be changed and transformed into the image of Christ, that they might make a difference in the world as well. We want to root people and help people, you and me, and others who are not even here yet, to grow in their relationship to God, to cultivate that soil so their roots can grow down deep into that soil of God's love. Now, here's what it looks like on paper. Can you bring up the mission and vision slide for us to take a look at? This is what it looks like. Our mission is to praise God, grow disciples, and serve the world. And our vision is to be a church that roots people into the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. Do you see the logo? You see the leaves shooting up, the three areas of our mission? And what was kind of, we still needed to look at was, where are the roots? Where are our roots going? Where are our roots being grounded? They need to be grounded in the love of God found in Jesus Christ. That's where our roots need to be firm, need to be growing. And we as a church need to be the place that cultivates that soil for people. Does that make sense? Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Is this making sense? You see, a lot of people say, why does the church exist? Why are we here? Why is Glenmar here in Howard County and Ellicott City? Why do we exist? And a lot of people have different ideas about that. Everybody here probably has a different idea about that. But here's my idea. I don't think we exist to be a social club. That's one thing I don't think we exist for. We're not here just to be a place of social, to get to know people and have potlucks and dinners and do great fun stuff together, which is good. There's nothing wrong with any of that. That's a part of the church, but it's not the reason we exist. I also don't think we exist to maintain an institution or to maintain a denomination. We exist to make a difference in other people's lives, in our lives and other people's lives. That's why we exist. We are in the spiritual development business. That's what we do as a church. Because we know that as we cultivate people, and that as people encounter God, and as they grow their roots down into the love of God, what do? They start to change. They start to change their lives, start to be impacted, and as a result, they end up praising God, growing as disciples, and serving the world. And so as we develop people spiritually, we make a difference in the world around us because we send all of us out into that world, and we're called to be the people of God in a hurting world. Let me give you another example of what that looks like. I was doing a sermon series on the purpose-driven life. Has anybody ever heard of that? There's a book out, I think, somebody wrote. This was many years ago. We were doing a sermon series, and along with that sermon series, we did video clips, little video dramas that happened every week before the sermon that kind of raised a question or raised a topic. And so there was a young man in our church who loved doing video and all that stuff. So we said, well, you take this and run with it and prepare it. And he took leadership on it. He went out and he recruited his friends who didn't go to our church to be a part of this video series. And so every week we'd come to church and we'd see this video series and we didn't know anybody who was in it. You know, usually you see something and you think you'll see people you know in church. We didn't know them. We didn't know who they were. He had just gone out and said to his friends who from drama club and people that he had known in the past and said, hey, you all come help me do this. And so they began. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe they'll come to our church and see themselves on the video. Well, they never came. They made the videos and they never came. And I thought, well, okay. And we had a great sermon series. People responded in the congregation. I didn't think anything more about it. Then a couple months later, a guy shows up in our church who was in one of the videos. And I didn't know this at the time, but I later found out that he had been experiencing some things in his life that made him question his meaning and existence on this planet. And so those questions made him think, well, maybe I ought to try church. And so when he thought about trying church out, where do you think he naturally thought about going to church? The one church he knew about. Because he hadn't grown up in the church. He didn't know what church was about. He may have gone to one or two funerals in his life, but other than that, he had no exposure to God or to the church. So he thought, well, I maybe ought to try this out. And so he came and he found a warm welcome And he found that, you know, lightning didn't strike when he entered the building. And he found out that it was safe. And he found out that people loved him no matter what. And so he kept coming back. And one day at the end of a sermon, I just spontaneously said, you know, if you ever want to invite Christ into your life, you don't need me to help you do that. You don't need some special, you know, prayer or anything like that. You just ask Christ to come into your life, and Christ will come into your life. And he responded, and he asked Christ to come into his life that day. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but told me later. So as a result of his roots beginning to grow into the soil of God's love, he then said, you know, I play guitar, and he played in a band in bars. But he decided, you know, I could take my gift as a guitar player, and I could play in the worship team at the church. And so he came out and started playing in the worship team. He was praising God. And then a couple months later, as he got more involved, he said, you know, I really want to study the Bible. And so he started attending one of our Bible studies and growing the Bible study. I remember one day he came up to me and he says, look what I got on my phone. And every day he was getting a verse text message to his phone every day. And every day he'd see the text message, he'd read the verse. And sometimes he'd come to me and say, well, what does this mean? You know, but that was where he was. That was a good thing. He was trying to grow as a disciple. And you know, last time I talked to him, the other thing is he met a girl there at church and they got married. He was baptized in that church for the first time and his parents came to his baptism. They had never gone to church. And so they were wondering, what is my son up to? And then, last time I talked to him, he is now the chair of the finance committee at that church because he's a banker. He's serving God. You know, never underestimate that when you're serving the church that you're serving the world, because as you help the church, you're actually helping impact lives, hopefully beyond just the church's life. So even as you serve, don't ever underestimate your service in the church like it doesn't matter. It does matter. But you see how that works? As people experience God's love, they start to grow. As the soil of their hearts is cultivated by God's love, they start to change. They start to blossom. And see, wouldn't it be great if that happened for even more people than just us? I mean, I hope that it's happening for each of us, and we need to continue to grow into God's love. But what if other people, that could happen for other people like this young man I just told you about? Do you know that these numbers aren't correct. Don't quote me on these numbers, but if there's 200,000 people that live around this church, or, you know, within our region, there's probably at least 200,000 people. Would you agree? Here's the number. 140,000 of them are not connected to Christ or to the church. Think about that. About 140,000 of them either have just tasted God, have just tasted a little bit of what Christ has to offer, or they have no idea altogether. And you know what? You know what else? In the next 10 to 20 years, that number's going to grow. It's not going down. So what if? What if we became that place? What if we became that place where people encountered the love of God in Jesus Christ, this life-giving message in their lives that helped them to become the people that we're becoming? Has Glenmar made a difference in your life? Really? Has it? Has Glenmar made a difference in your life? You're not convincing me. And I don't, I'm not trying to get you to say it louder. I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to ask it and you just respond. Is Glenmar making a difference in your life? Yes. Okay. Wouldn't you want that difference to happen in other people's lives? Yes, right? You see, it's not just about us. See, I don't think God has brought us this far just for us. That's what we're saying. We're saying we're not here just for us. We're here to make a difference in the community around us and in the world. And that can happen, folks. That can happen. That will happen in the life of our church. God hasn't brought us this far to just leave us here. You know, when I was a... when I was doing the denominational representative thing, I got to travel around the country and I got to help talk about starting churches around the nation and here in the state. And one of the things I also got to encounter was people who were starting up new faith communities around the world. And I remember meeting a young man from Laos who was starting house churches in Laos. And I remember what he said. He said, you know, he talked about the apple seed, and I've got an apple seed right here. It is like, it's not as small as a mustard seed, but you can't even see it, can you? It's like in the corner of this little thing, but you can see a picture, a blown up picture of this apple seed. And he talked about, you know, in the apple seed right there, that one apple seed, you would think he was going to say, well, you know, in the apple seed, you know, there's a tree waiting to be born, whatever, right? Or there's another apple waiting to be grown. But he said, in Laos, they say in the apple seed is an orchard. Right? I mean, within this seed right here in my hand is the potential for an entire orchard. Is it not? We could plant this one seed in the ground, and it would flourish into a tree that would produce more apples. And if we took those seeds and we planted them in the ground again, cultivated the soil and planted them again, and they would grow more trees, and we could develop a whole orchard from this one seed, right? And they say in Laos, in their house church movement, is what they say is that within every Christian is the potential for a whole church. Now think about that. Not just for another Christian, not just for one other life, but that a whole church can be born from one Christian. And that's true, isn't it? Look at John Wesley, Martin Luther. Look at all the early church fathers. Look at the Apostle Paul. Within each one of us is the potential for a church. I bet you didn't know that. But think about that. Think about the possibility that if we were to cultivate that seed within us, and if we would allow it to grow, that what a huge impact we could make on this community. There are places that we have not yet gone that God may call us to. There are people that we have not yet encountered that God may ask us to make a difference in their lives. I don't know who they are yet, but you do. You do. What if? What if?